What's going on, TNN and Jamie and Joe Nation? It is Monday night. It's December 22nd, 2025. The last TNN and Jamie and Show episode before Christmas for 2025. I'm Tanner Lee, co-host Josh the J-Mama is not with us this evening. As he said last week, he was going to be gone. He's got family Christmas stuff going on. So I called to the bullpen. I called for the reliever, for the setup man. Maybe he's a middle reliever. I really don't know. He's an old vet, though. I could tell you that much. My father, Eric Lee. Dad, how we doing? Thanks for filling in for the J-Man.
Doing well. And the Mariano Rivera of the relief pitcher.
I don't know.
Maybe more wild Mitch Williams.
I would call him maybe the Jamie Moyer. That's the only old pitcher I could think of.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe that wasn't a good comparison. But anyways, thanks for joining us this evening. Thanks for filling in for the J-Man. We got a lot to talk about. We got round one of the college football playoffs are in the books. We'll be talking about that. Only one game was really newsworthy, but maybe two, I guess. We also got a lot of NFL. We got 16 weeks down. Well, after tonight, after the Niners-Colts game, it'll be 16 weeks down. Two to go. The playoff picture's starting to become more clear. And we got some college hoops to talk about as well. But first, we got some birdie or bogey. I guess I brought it. I was really struggling this week finding one. So the Colts and the Niners play tonight. Like I said, it'll be only the fourth time both teams have met up in Indianapolis since 2000. Who was the starting quarterback for the San Francisco 49ers the last time they beat the Colts in San Francisco, in Indianapolis?
Okay. You're probably not giving any years away or anything.
I said it since 2000. So
yeah. All right.
I told you I was struggling coming up with one. So
good question.
It's just you just got to probably throw a guess out there, I guess.
Probably a Hail Mary.
Yep, you're not getting any hints out of me. But this week, the birdie or bogey question is brought to you by Dreddy's Place, not Arlington Public House, even though it says Arlington Public House right there on the bumper. But Arlington Public House is closed for the rest of 2025. So until they open in 2026, taking their place for the next few weeks on the pod will be their sister restaurant, Dreddy's Place, which is also located 701 Main Street, Rochester, Indiana. I know I'm probably biased because I eat there almost every Friday when I'm in town, but I think it is the go-to spot in Rochester for lunch and also breakfast. What say you, Dad?
I agree.
They serve up fresh breakfast and lunch favorites. Their hours are, let's see here, their hours are, well, they don't list their hours right here on their Facebook page, so that doesn't help. But they're open Monday through Saturday. So there you go. So
also open for breakfast on Fridays and Saturdays. So
there you go. So can't go wrong eating at Dreddy's Place. Like I said, 701 Main Street, Rochester, Indiana. What do you want to start off with, Dad?
You're the host.
Well, let's start off with kind of how I went down the rundown earlier in the order. College football playoff underway Friday and Saturday, this past Friday or Saturday. So four teams eliminated out of 12, four teams moving on. Corner finals are set now. Friday night, we saw Alabama going to Norman, Oklahoma, finding themselves down in a 17-0 deficit, only to come back and win 34-24.
Yeah, really big win for Alabama. They can't run the football, which is a big concern if you're an Alabama fan, but they still got some athletes there. They still got the Joes, so impressive win. I thought Oklahoma would handle it, but quite frankly, it was what, 34-7 the last 40 minutes of the game, so – Alabama dominated.
Well, now Oklahoma falls to 0-5 all time in the college football playoff. But Alabama, you know, they're down 17-0, and you know, social media is going crazy. Kalen DeBoer should better just take that Michigan job.
Yeah.
And Notre Dame fans were having fun with it, saying, oh, look at Alabama. Everybody went pretty silent pretty quickly, though.
They sure did. Yeah. Yeah, I didn't give Alabama much of a shot after the way they got pounded at Georgia. You know,
I mean, that's, I know they're playing an SEC team in Oklahoma, but that was Georgia, who Alabama had already beaten. So Georgia's fired up to get revenge on them. And I still think Georgia and Ohio State, in my opinion, are right there for most talented team in the country. And in Oklahoma's case, they beat Alabama already. So Alabama was going to be mad.
Yeah,
to go in into Norman and win. So, I mean, Alabama still got talent. I mean, come on. You can't ever count them out. I do see they are a 7-point dog to Indiana in the Rose Bowl. That whole sentence right there, I never thought I'd be saying in my lifetime. Indiana, yeah. Rose Bowl against Alabama and as a favorite. But yeah. Here we are.
Yeah, it'll probably be probably the fastest team Indiana will have played this year, although Oregon's got some good speed. But, you know, Alabama's probably a little better in the trenches than Oregon, so should be a good game. I would slightly favor Indiana too, but, you know, last year Oregon came into the tournament ranked number one, undefeated, just won the Big Ten and just got clobbered in the Rose Bowl.
The bye week could hurt you.
Yeah.
But it could maybe help you too.
Am I right? In last year, all the teams that had to win their way into the second round, didn't at least three of them win their way into the third round as well, if not all four?
Notre Dame went clear to the championship. Ohio State beat Tennessee, then Oregon. Texas beat Clemson, then Arizona State.
Yeah.
And
Penn State beat
Boise State, then –
yeah,
somebody.
So there's a little precedence there that the teams that actually had to play won the second round games. So,
yeah, who did Penn State play? Because Notre Dame beat Indiana, Georgia, then Penn State.
Yep, Penn State beat Boise State, and then
who else had the bye last year? Who won the ACC? No, Clemson won the ACC championship.
Well, and SMU went down to Penn State, didn't they?
So did they play Boise and SMU?
That doesn't sound right.
I'm going to look it up. I'm looking it up. This is embarrassing that we can't remember this. Of course, that gives me this year's. Let's see, last year's. No, they beat SMU, then Boise State. Boise State got a bye.
Okay.
Boise State was a 3 seed.
That's right. They changed the rules from this year so that the non-Power 5 didn't necessarily get a bye.
Which they didn't this year, but they got two non-Power 5, two G5 schools in, which – in those games, we saw Mississippi beat Tulane 41-10 and Oregon beat James Madison 51-34, which, to James Madison's credit, even though I think Oregon took the foot off the gas, that was closer than Tennessee was to Ohio State last year.
Right. Yeah. I thought Oregon probably had the best route because you figured they were going to win easy, but I'm sure the second half didn't please their coach. They lost the second half 28-17. They're up 34-6 at half. And like you said, I don't know if they psychologically just put their foot off the gas or, you know, but I know the quarterback threw a couple picks. And, yeah, I'm sure James Madison was fairly happy put 34 up against Oregon. So
probably the biggest takeaway was the first game on Saturday that saw Miami, Florida going into Kyle Field down at College Station, Texas, and beat Texas A&M 10-3.
Yeah, a little windy out there. Field
just
goals
a little bit
flying right and flying left. I think how many? It was four field goals missed or something. So, yeah, that was a big win for Miami. I mean, it kind of validated their whole reason of being there, right? So,
sure.
I think the college football playoff with the 12 teams, the one thing it accomplishes is you get the best eight teams from that point forward. Because if you really think about it, whoever's 9, 10, 11, 12, probably not going to win the college football playoffs, right? So it accomplishes its goal of finding the 8 best teams. And in this case, number 9 and number 10 won their games. So, you know, obviously they're better than the 7 and 8 teams. So the best teams are still alive.
Yeah, if you were in charge of the playoffs, would you change it going forward? And if so, how do you change it? What would you do? Would you expand it? Would you change how people, the criteria? Would you change?
Yeah.
What would you do?
Here's what I would do. I would eliminate the championship games of the conferences, which will never happen. And then have a 16 team tournament. First two rounds are hosted by the lower seed in their home fields. That way the travel for the fans doesn't have to be, you know, $10,000 each game. You know, like if Indiana wins, you know, their fans already paid probably $800 a ticket to go to Indy. Then they're probably going to pay for round trip to the Rose Bowl, you know, for two people, let's say a husband and wife going, that's probably $10,000. They win that, then you got another
week.
You don't want to go to the Beach Bowl and probably spend about another $8,000. And if they win that, you don't want to miss the championship. So you've probably got another $10,000.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it's a lot more expensive to follow your team in the postseason for college football than it is basketball. And I'm not saying basketball's cheap by any means, but cheaper.
No. I found that out a couple of years ago following Purdue all the way, and it's not cheap. But then so once you have those two rounds, you have four teams left. I'd play both games on New Year's Day. And then, you know, 9 days later or whatever on that Monday night, have the championship game. That's what I would do. But
okay.
I would also have it where every team to be eligible has to play 10 Power 5 football games, you know, whether it be all conference games or if you only have 9 conference games or even only 8, then you have to schedule two more, you know, one or two more quote unquote power teams.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't necessarily give the small school a shot in the playoff. It's kind of a cool feature of March Madness, but you know, when you only have 5 guys out there, it's a lot easier to pull an upset than when you have to have 11 guys out there. And that's just what I think would make sense.
Yeah. Did some other college football news today. Did you see where, at least for 2 years, the Notre Dame-USC series is coming to a pause as Notre Dame is going to play BYU in 2026 and 2027?
Some of that was USC wanted to play the Notre Dame game early in the season. They didn't want that as part, you know, when they're playing their conference schedule. And I get that. But, you know, that didn't fit in Notre Dame's arrangements. So they switched it out with BYU, which they'll run into the same problems USC did. They'll be in the middle of their conference season and have to play Notre Dame. Because usually you don't see a power non-conference matchup in the middle of the season.
No.
Or at the end of the season. So.
No, it's Notre Dame keeps finding themselves in some predicaments.
If they don't win a conference, I could see teams starting to drop them. You know,
yeah, sure.
If USC hadn't played them this year, USC very well could have been one of those 12 teams.
Yep. Do you think Marcus Freeman leaves for the NFL?
I do not.
I don't either. I think he entertains it. I think he might interview just for experience. But I don't think ultimately, not yet at least, I don't think he leaves Notre Dame.
The only way I could see him leaving is he just gets frustrated by the predicament that Notre Dame's got themselves into.
Yeah.
Because right now it looks like Notre Dame has to win 11 games to get in.
Yeah.
And while they do have, you know, if they're in the top 12 or whatever, they're in automatically starting next year. That's pretty tough. You have to win 11 out of 12.
Yeah.
The other schools, you know, the Big Ten powers and stuff, they can go 10-2, still get in. So.
Yep. A lot of people think that there's only two places Marcus Freeman would leave Notre Dame for if they were to become open someday. Ohio State, where he's his alma mater, where he played for, or the Bears, where he played for professionally.
I didn't know he played professional.
Yeah, he played for the Bears for a couple of years, got hurt, and had to retire.
Okay.
I think 2 or 3 years, maybe.
Yeah. I could see that, but you know, money speaks too, and I'm sure Notre Dame compensates him really well. But
sure.
You know, there's a big difference between living in South Bend, Indiana, and New York City, too.
Right. So, what direction do you think Michigan ultimately goes with their head coach?
You know, I have a gut feeling maybe Jeff Brohm takes that. I don't think that'd be Michigan's first choice. I don't even know if Michigan fans would be happy with that.
I don't think they would.
He went 36 and 34 at Purdue, which sounds terrible, but at Purdue, that's, you know, darn near statue-like. So, but, you know, we'll see. They'd probably love to get a big name. I just don't know who that would be.
Yeah. They'll throw a lot of money at somebody.
Yeah. You know, if he did get from within the college ranks, and let's say a Marcus Freeman or something went up there, then you'd have all kinds of different.
Then the domino effect starts again.
Yeah. And right now, you know, you're already beyond. Well, you got signing day, what, just after January 2nd or something?
January 2nd is where the portal opens.
Yeah.
So guys maybe can announce their intentions right now, but it doesn't open up to January 2nd when Wild Wild West starts, free agency starts.
Yeah. Well, they better get it done in a hurry.
Yep. Yep, because most of those kids will start class a week or two after that.
Yeah.
So they're supposed to be student-athletes yet still.
Yeah, supposedly they already, you know, went around the bushes and talked to Dillingham from ASU, who'd have probably been a good one. You know, Matt Campbell would have been a good one, but Penn State grabbed him. So it's hard to come up with just that right guy. You know, I think you and Josh even discussed Brian Kelly.
I think he would love the job, but I don't think they're going that direction.
Yeah, I don't either.
But
so
we'll see. It'll be interesting.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting. Any more thoughts on college football? I mean, you want to take a stab? Well, Josh and I will save our predictions for next week, but do you want to take a stab at making your predictions?
I would guess Indiana over Alabama in a close one. Ohio State wins. I think the most interesting game might be Texas Tech and Oregon. Two very dangerous teams. Texas Tech is undefeated when their quarterback plays. Just don't know how great the Big 12 really was. And then the other game, let's see, is
Ole Miss and Georgia.
Yeah, I got to think Georgia in that one.
Yeah. Yeah, so you're going chalk. You're going all the favorites. Well, you say Oregon. They might not be favorite, I guess. They will be the higher seed.
Yeah. Yeah, that game I think will be the best game of the four.
So you got three of the Final Four being Big Ten teams.
I do.
And then Georgia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Watch it being zero, but that's how I'm heading.
I think you and I would rather take zero than three.
Yeah, three is not an option for a Purdue fan.
No. So, all right. Well, do you want to get educated real quick before we get too far down the road here?
Hit me.
All right. Let's talk about On This Day, which is brought to you by Mooney Wood and Laser Crafts. On this day in 1894, the Amateur Golf Association of the United States was formed in New York City, be later renamed to the United States Golf Association, USGA. That's still known today. Okay. On this day in 1942, who was the first pick in the NFL draft by the Pittsburgh Steelers?
1942.
Yeah.
Jade Berwanger.
Good guess. Better than I had. Bill Dudley of the University of Virginia. Ever heard of him?
Okay. No.
Me neither. I figured you might have heard of him at least.
I'm not quite that old.
On this day, 1962, the millionth NBA point was scored.
The millionth.
Millionth. Yep.
Was it Wilt?
Doesn't say who. Just says the millionth point was scored.
Wilt averaged 50.4 that year, I think. So chances are he dang near had a million himself.
On this day, 1983, the Indiana Pacers beat the one at Denver against the Nuggets, 133-132 to snap an NBA 28 NBA game losing streak on the road.
Wow. Defensive battle.
On this day, 1995, MLB pitcher David Cone signed a $19.5 million 3-year contract with the New York Yankees. Pocket change now.
Yeah.
On this day, 1996, St. Louis Blues right wing Brett Hall scored his 26th NHL career hat trick to reach 500 career goals in a 7-4 win over the Los Angeles Kings. With father Bobby Hall, he became the first father-son combo to each record 500 goals.
That's good. That's a good one.
I remember when this happened. On this day in 2003, the New York Knicks hired Isaiah Thomas as president of basketball operations.
Yeah, that'll go good.
That did not go good at all. On this day in 2019, New Orleans Saints wide receiver Michael Thomas set an NFL record for most catches in the season was 144 as the Saints beat the Titans 38-28, broke a 17-year-old record held by Marvin Harrison.
Is that still a record or has that been broke?
I know it says record, but I don't know. I don't know off the top of my head.
I saw something today where those two hooked up whenever Breeze threw to him, 85% of the time it was completion. The second highest rate since that time is Drake May to Stephon Diggs this year. Yeah.
Helped him last night in that comeback win over the Ravens. And on this day in 2020, Caitlin Clark registered her first triple-double at Iowa with 13 points, 13 rebounds, and 10 assists against the Western Illinois Leathernecks.
The Leathernecks?
Yeah, I threw that part in there. It just said Western Illinois, but I know they're the Leathernecks. So, and honestly, segment is brought to you by, like it has been every single episode of the Tan and J-Man Show in 2025, by Mooney Wood and Laser Crafts. Mooney Wood and Laser Crafts is a veteran-owned and operated woodcraft shop based out of Texas with Indiana grassroots. They provide 100% hand-cut custom designs to fit your needs, and their pieces are a great addition to any home, office, or man cave. You can see some of their recently completed projects by visiting them at Mooney Wood Laser Crafts on Instagram and on Facebook. And if you let them know the Tan and J-Man Show sent you, you get 15% off your first order. Like I said, it's definitely too late now to get your order in for Christmas, saying we're on December 22nd now. But you got plenty of time in 2026 to get your order in for whatever occasion it might be. So Thad makes great stuff. Go check out his website, MooneyWoodLaserCrafts.com. Tumblers, patches, stickers, tons of different wood items. So go check them out.
Won't be there difficult. You go.
All right. What is your blind rankings? What's that in relation to this week?
All right. I did.
Well, I was just asking what is it? What sport?
It is not necessary. It's sports related, but it's not necessarily tied to one sport.
All right, we'll go ahead and do that then.
All right. I had four or five different topics and I couldn't come up with a good fifth one for two of them. So I came to this and I want you to rank these 1 through 5 on your favorite listening pleasure, best play-by-play or five different play-by-play announcers.
Okay. I like it.
I'm going to start with Gus Johnson.
Ugh. Gets a little too excited for my liking. I like excitement, but he takes it over the top. I still can't get over his love fest for Jordan Holes back in the day. So, Gus, I got a feeling you got somebody worse, in my opinion, than Gus. So I'm putting Gus at 4.
4, okay. Mike Tirico.
Oh, it's hard to beat Mike. Mike's good, whether he's doing Olympics, NFL, NBA, golf. He's a pro's pro.
Yeah.
I'm going to put Mike at 1. He's tough to beat, I think. He's right.
I, I would agree with that. Chris Fowler.
I think he's underrated. I don't think people give Fowler enough credit, mainly because he doesn't do game day anymore. But he does the main game with Herb Shriek. He still does tennis. Mm-hmm. He's got a calm, soothing voice. Still does the college football game, or he's one of like six announcers on there. I will put Fowler at three.
Three, okay. Jim Nantz.
So I got 2 and 5 left. I've always liked Nantz. I mean, how can you not? I mean, he does the Masters. He does other big golf events on CBS. Used to do the Final Four. He does the NFL games on CBS. Part of tons of moments. Tons of moments in my 33 years of existence. Jim Nantz has been on those calls. So I got to go Nantz at number 2.
I'd agree with that. And lastly, Joe Buck.
So Buck goes number 5 for me. In a re-rank, I'm flipping Buck and Gus, but I'm keeping all the rest. But I'm not the biggest Joe Buck fan, but I don't mind him. I think he's better at football than he is baseball.
Yeah.
And he's a lot better at both those than he was golf. He was not good at golf.
Golf was not his forte.
Fox was not good at golf.
No.
Total. Production, any of that. So,
nope.
Yeah, re-rank, I'm keeping Trico 1, Nantz 2, Fowler 3. I'm putting Buck at 4 and sliding Gus Johnson to 5.
I would have that same exact, although Buck and Fowler are pretty close to me.
That's fair.
But, yeah, I think Tirico's the best and Jim Nantz is right there. So.
What were some of your other lists you were considering?
Well, I had the most shocking sports announcements. And right away, I thought about Andrew Luck retiring. Luka Doncic.
Your daughter-in-law was at that game.
Oh, yeah.
When the announcement started coming across the stadium.
Luka getting traded. You know, that was a big one.
I thought it was fake news when it happened.
O.J. Simpson getting charged with murder. You were
too young for that, but
yeah. You know, and then Tyson biting Holyfield's ear.
Yeah.
But I couldn't really come up with another one. And then I had the
best the Mitchell report. Steroids.
Yeah. That wasn't really shocking. We all kind of knew that was coming.
But. Penn State football.
Oh, yeah, the Paterno thing. Or Sandusky.
Sandusky, all that, yeah.
And then I also had the best team to not win the championship.
Ooh.
Like the undefeated Patriots with Randy Moss's year. The 73-win Warrior team. The 116-win Seattle Mariner team.
Yeah.
And the undefeated Kentucky team. You know, in basketball,
and that Mariner team didn't even make the title like the rest of them.
No, and then the other one,
okay, I didn't know the title either. So
the other one I had was, I don't know if it was before your time, but and it's a little bit because he was the champion when Mike Tyson lost to Buster Douglas.
That was before me. I know a lot of that before
me. I thought it was. That's why I didn't.
Tyson was kind of on the back. I mean, I remember the Holyfield thing happening. I remember Lennox Lewis kind of knocking Tyson's block off, and then that kind of was Tyson. He was downslide after that.
Yeah.
Kind of like Jake Paul got his block knocked off this weekend.
Yeah. You got to give the guy an A for courage, though.
Finally fought somebody. We'll see if he continues it. I guess he could continue it now, and now it's the comeback story of Jake Paul if he tends to do so. So
yeah.
But that is the blind ranking segment, which is brought to you by Like It Is Every Week, Performer Print 2 Promo Group. If you're looking for a trustworthy, dependable resource for next trade show, company picnic, or sales meeting in 2026, Performer Print 2 Promo Group has over 50 years combined experience in promotional products and commercial print. They strive for fast and efficient response to all your print needs, so you need to look no further. Let them be your one source print and promotional company today by giving Barbara Van Weinsberg a call at 574-210-3815. All right. Do you want to talk some college hoops?
Sure.
Yeah, so last week's one of those interesting years in college hoops where not much goes on during the week because most schools are in finals week. And then you have some pretty good matchups over the weekend.
Yeah. Our favorite school did very well this week, beat Auburn by 28, a team that just crushed Purdue last year. It was only 18, but I think it was 28-30.
Oh, they could have beat Purdue by 30 plus if they wanted to last
year. So I know that a couple of the guys on the team, when they asked them prior to the year what game they wanted, you know, they both, TKR and Braden, both said Auburn. So, yeah, very impressive, because some years it doesn't go so well for them down in Indianapolis.
Purdue's won the last 8 meetings against SEC opponents.
Yeah. I see what Matt's now at 16-6 against SEC teams. Tennessee's a lot of that. You know, they kind of own Tennessee over the years.
Yep.
So.
And Alabama recently.
And Alabama 3 years in a row. Yeah, it's true. They, you know, they haven't really played
Kentucky. And Matt's beat Alabama 2 other times.
Yeah.
So a lot of that's Alabama.
Yeah, and I think playing a couple SEC teams does you good as the season goes on, because that typically is a very athletic conference, particularly those two teams from Alabama. They're very fast. And so, Purdue, as a fan, they had a nice 12-game stretch. They beat played 4 top 25 teams. Won 3 of them, got crushed in the other. Thought their preseason was going to be a little more difficult. I didn't anticipate Marquette and Memphis both being down, because those 4 plus Marquette and Memphis and then Akron were all NCAA teams last year. So they went 6-1 against the 7 teams that played in the NCAA tournament last year. And even Oakland is probably projected to go in the tournament this year from their conference. So had a nice slate of games. You know, it's hard to say you're disappointed at 11-1. I guess the reason you're kind of disappointed is the amount you got beat by.
And at home.
At home, yeah. But they're 5-0 away from Mackey Arena. That's a positive sign, mm-hmm. but you know, the true season kind of starts to here in about a week and a half.
Sure. They got one more game in non-conference, actually a week from tonight on Big Ten Plus.
Yeah.
Kent State, that's been had a pretty good start to their season.
Yeah, I see the 10-2, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah. But, Purdue took care of business. Duke lost their first game of the year to a team that Purdue beat in Texas Tech.
Lost a 17-point lead.
So Purdue moved up to 5 in the rankings today.
Yeah.
I see some other Big Ten schools are in the rankings now. USC's 24th. Iowa's 25th. So.
Nebraska's clear up to 13th.
Nebraska's 13th. Illinois in action tonight in Josh's favorite game of the year, the bragging rights game against Missouri. Yeah.
I think Illinois kind of owned that lately.
I told Josh I am, as of today, officially declaring Missouri as my second favorite team.
Is it what?
My second favorite team is Missouri going forward from tonight.
There you go.
Yep.
Can't name their coach probably, but.
Nope. I can for football, but they got good colors. And at one time in this house, a former Missouri Tiger player lived in this house. So.
Oh, is that right?
Yes. And he was not very good, but his career game. Against Illinois.
There you go.
In a victory for the Tigers. So
I think the Hoosiers are playing Siena right now.
They are playing Siena, who is coached by.
You're pointing at me.
Yeah, I'm telling you to. No, you got nothing.
Is it the guy who used to. No, it's not the guy who coached Farley Dickerson.
You and I watched this guy play in the McDonald's All-American game in 2005. No, we didn't. No, we didn't. That was after him. Never mind. Never mind. That was his predecessor played in that game. But you will remember this guy, Jerry McNamara, Syracuse.
Oh.
We watched Devendorf play at McDonald's. But Gary McNamara is the head coach of Siena.
I did not know that.
Yes.
He probably runs that Syracuse zone then.
Probably. So, I don't think there's too many big basketball games this week, given it's Christmas week. Christmas Day is dominated by not only the NBA, but also the NFL now, with 3 games this year, 2 being on Netflix, 1 being on Amazon Prime. So,
when we talk about the NFL, we can go into those a little bit. But
Indiana right now, 18 minutes left, up 49-23.
Wow.
Central Michigan plays at Wisconsin tonight, Illinois, Missouri, San Diego's at Washington. Tomorrow, Ohio State hosts Grambling State. UCLA hosts UC Riverside. Then Sunday, Old Dominion plays at Maryland, and Omaha plays at Oregon. That's your Big Ten slate for the week.
Yeah, I don't expect the Big Ten to lose any of those games.
Even next week, it's pretty down.
I did see where Washington lost to Seattle this weekend, which I thought Washington was my pick as a sleeper pick in the Big Ten to finish in the top four or five, and they still might. I mean, everybody has bad game now and then.
I didn't realize that Purdue opens full-time Big Ten season. I knew we were at Wisconsin. I didn't realize it's next Saturday night, 8 o'clock on Fox.
January 3rd, yeah.
Yep. All right.
And then they have three home games in a row. They have a weird schedule this year. They have three games in a row at home, and then they have a 6 out of 8 on the road. So, you know, as you and Josh kind of alluded to, they took some of the teams they thought would be the top contenders and threw them a couple easier bones in December. You know, Purdue got Rutgers in Minnesota, which probably will be 16th and 18th in the 18-team conference.
Yep.
Illinois, it's kind of shocking. They had to play Ohio State and Nebraska, which is a little tougher start. So
yeah, sure was.
If you just look at it right now, you'd almost have to say Nebraska's leading the league because they've got wins against Wisconsin and Illinois out of the way already.
I think Wisconsin's maybe the most disappointing team so far in the league.
Yeah, but you know they'll be good.
Probably.
They always are. One thing I always liked is to play road games the first week of January before all the students were back.
Sure.
Unfortunately, Purdue's going to have three home games before the students get
back. At least they get at Wisconsin out of the way.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just a little bit different atmosphere when the kids aren't around.
Yeah, but Purdue fans, I mean, they proved against Marquette they'll go through snowstorm to get to the game.
Yeah.
So I don't think – if any school can sustain that, I think Purdue can better than others.
Yeah, a couple of years ago they lost. When they were really good, they lost at Rutgers at home during that first week. So things happen. Although that Rutgers team, who'd have ever guessed that Spencer would be the NBA guy in that group?
Nope.
No, didn't see that coming.
Nope. So, but I think you're a lot like me. You still haven't watched a ton of college basketball outside of Purdue or the Big Ten yet today, correct?
Yeah. I haven't really even I can literally say I've only watched maybe 2 or 3 minutes of Indiana.
Yeah.
And I can't even think of any other Big Ten teams I really watched. I saw a little bit of Michigan against Rutgers, and obviously Michigan's looking like a killer right now, but you know, going the road in the Big Ten. They'll get some challenges.
Sure. Well, let's transition back to the gridiron, talk some NFL because we can talk at length about the NFL. We got 22 minutes left.
Mm-hmm.
So week 16 will be in the books after tonight's Monday Night Football game, the Niners and the Colts. So three winners, three losers. I'll let you start. Who's your first winner of week 16?
Well, I'm going to have to say it's Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yeah.
I know that's not going to be popular with you, but they looked really good. And Trevor Lawrence is playing by far the best football he's played in his NFL career.
He's taking care of the football right now, too. He wasn't even close to turning it over yesterday.
No. And he made a couple big-time throws.
And runs. Some big-time runs.
And he's huge.
Yeah.
And he's fast. I mean, you know, finally that potential starting to show. And by the way, one of my pet peeves this year is everybody's saying how I even heard it today called a down year in the NFL. It's just because of the names with the records. Right. If Kansas City was the AFC West team at 12-3, and Buffalo was the AFC East team at 12-3. Sure. You know, they'd be saying, oh, it's going to be outstanding.
It's time for some new blood and some new meat.
And we're getting it. I mean, it looks like Baltimore and Detroit are out. They're not mathematically eliminated. Baltimore might get a huge break on Saturday because Jordan Love probably going to be tough for him to pass concussion protocol. And then I heard Malik Willis, who played great, is also banged up.
Well, so is Lamar, though.
Pardon me?
Lamar's banged up, too.
But, yeah, if Lamar – but his backup looked great last night, too, I thought. But,
yeah.
You're right. You're right. But if they just run the ball.
But they wouldn't run the ball last night. So, I mean,
Henry was going nuts, and they wouldn't give him the ball.
Yeah, so that's just John Harbaugh. I don't think he's in jeopardy of losing his job, but I don't know.
I think he is. And then in the other case, I know it seems like the Lions are dead now, and I thought their way in was win the last three and the Bears lose out. But right now, let's say the Packers can't play their first two. They had a ton of other injuries. Let's say they lose to Baltimore and Detroit wins over Miami. Then the last game, Green Bay has to win, or they don't.
Detroit
even
plays Minnesota.
Yeah,
Detroit plays Minnesota. Not Miami.
Won three in a row.
I was correcting you. You said Miami. You said Detroit plays Miami. They play Minnesota.
Okay.
I was correcting you. Miami plays Tampa Bay.
Okay, that's right. That's right. I knew somebody that had to have that win
because JJ McCarthy didn't practice today for Minnesota.
Yeah.
So, but long story, your first winner's Jacksonville.
Yep.
Okay. All right. Well, my first winner is Seattle Seahawks. Big time win over the Rams. Seems like forever ago on Thursday night in overtime. They score, they go for two, they get it. Controversial backwards or maybe not backwards pass that their player just nonchalantly picks up the ball in the end zone. But, yeah, I mean, right now, Seattle's the one seed in the NFC. So,
yeah,
nobody's talking about them.
And I'm probably as guilty as anybody. I'm not sold on them at all. But you are what your record says. That's what Bill Parcells always said.
Yep.
So,
who's your number two winner?
I guess it'd be the Chicago Bears. They got thoroughly outplayed for 58 minutes and had a tremendous last 2 minutes. And you know, won in overtime on, you know, one of the probably top five plays of the year, that pass from Williams to Moore. I mean, he was well guarded. And, yeah, that was pretty incredible.
Yeah, if Green Bay just gets the onside kick, they win. But guy couldn't hold on to it.
And, you know, last year the Bears found ways to lose, and this year they're finding ways to win. You know, I think they blocked it. Field goal to beat the dang Las Vegas Raiders earlier in the year. And
yeah, you're right.
But once again, you are what your record says. I think they're a year ahead of schedule right now.
Yep.
Caleb has he makes plays when they have to have them. You know, he's not the prettiest quarterback to watch. He misses a lot of wide open guys. But
I think there's three teams that have sophomore quarterbacks that are ahead of schedule. The Bears, Broncos, and Patriots are all a year ahead of schedule, I would say.
And so they all have the luxury of, you know, paying the quarterback less right now.
Yeah.
That's one of the ways you can either have a superstar quarterback or have a team that's stacked because you're not having to pay your quarterback, you know, millions and millions of dollars.
Well, Denver's still playing millions and millions of dollars till after this year to get Russell Wilson off the books. People forget that.
Yeah.
So
they still have a pretty darn good roster.
But what I'm saying is they'll have even more money to spend free agency next year.
Yeah. New England spent the most this year, and it shows.
Sure.
They got banged up last night pretty good, though, too. So
my second winner is Carolina Panthers, 23-20 victory over Tampa Bay. Take sole place for now, at least, of the NFC South. Tampa Bay earlier this year, Baker was playing some MVP football, but I can honestly say, after a hot start, he's been one of the most, at least inconsistent, if not one of the worst starting quarterbacks in the league.
Yeah. Yeah, he was the probably about week six, he was the MVP favorite. It was crazy, that last interception, because I watched a lot of that game. I thought Tampa Bay was the better team the whole time. And, you know, he throws it one way and Evans turns and goes the other way. It's an easy interception, game over. It just seemed like, especially the way people kick now, they were going to get at least a field goal out of that.
I don't think either of those teams can even win a playoff game, but somebody's got to win that division. So,
yeah.
Get on the
Panthers. Right now, the winner of that division would have to play either the Rams, the Niners, or the – because I think the Niners control their own Isn't that right? If they went out, they're going to be the number one seed.
You might be right. They have at Indy tonight. They have a Chicago home next Sunday night.
And then I think they wrap up with Seattle.
Do Seattle. Wow.
Now, this week, Carolina has to go to Seattle.
Yes.
And Tampa Bay plays Miami. So let's just say. Miami. Yeah, but with Quinn Ewers.
Miami's done. They shut it down yesterday.
So I'm anticipating Tampa probably winning and Seattle winning.
Yeah.
Which I think makes that last week probably the Sunday night game.
Probably.
Carolina and Tampa, and I think the winner goes.
Unless the Broncos-Chargers both win this week, that might be Sunday night. Because
yeah, they might have two,
for the AFC West, especially if the Patriots somehow lose, which they won't, that'd be for the AFC West and the number one seed.
Yeah, that would make even more – they'd rather have the Broncos than the Chargers.
Yeah, but I would rather it be Carolina and Tampa Bay.
But the Broncos are in the playoffs.
Yes, they locked a spot. And say they beat the Chiefs and the Texans beat the Chargers, then the Broncos lock up the West. But they can't lock up the one seed until the last week now by losing.
Now,
they could. If they win and both – if the Chargers and the Chargers and the Patriots both lose, I think they would. I don't think it matters what Jacksonville does because they're a game behind. I don't know. Just win both games.
Yeah, the Broncos control their own destiny.
Yes, they do. That was the only good thing coming out of yesterday. Mm-hmm. Who's your last winner?
Well, I'm going to go off the beaten path a little bit and say the New Orleans Saints.
Yeah, they're hot. Hot.
And their quarterback looks good.
Yeah, he's finding himself a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm going to say the Pittsburgh Steelers, even if they got lucky with an OPI call, even though it was the right call. Good win for them at Detroit, and they're starting to click at the right time. I still don't know if they can win the AFC, but they're dangerous.
Yeah. Well, they got lucky, but, you know, their Boswell, the best kicker, clanks one from 36 yards. You know, that would have set them up pretty good. And, you know, they got a couple penalties, and next thing you know, Detroit's down on the one.
I heard a stat that Mike Tomlin has never lost a game when up
double digits in the fourth quarter, yes, right?
Double digits in the fourth quarter. Never lost once.
That's pretty amazing. Because just look at Baltimore. I think they've lost 18 in the last 5 years when they've been up by 10 points in the second half. So, that's crazy.
Well, let's flip it. Three losers. You being the guest, I'll let you start again.
Okay, a loser.
So many teams are already out of it.
Yeah. But I'm trying to come up because there's quite a few games where the quote-unquote elite teams did not play well this week and the quote-unquote sucky teams did, you know.
Right.
Heck, even the Raiders gave Houston all they wanted. But
which Raider fans shouldn't want to win. This Raider-Giant matchup coming up, right now they're picking 1-2.
I know.
Remember all that Jackson Dart hype? That's went away pretty fast.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they're trying to protect the kid.
Probably.
And not let him throw so he doesn't get concussions.
Probably.
Because I think he's proven to be pretty good. But, yeah, this last game, they really put the handcuffs on him. Losers. I'm going to go with the Arizona Cardinals, who looked like they were going to be pretty good at the beginning of the year. They just stink.
Yeah.
I know they lost some people.
I hate seeing a coach get fired quickly, but I think Gannon's done there.
Yeah.
I'm putting the Dolphins as a loser. I thought they might come out with some fire. A new quarterback yesterday, Quinn Ewers, 45-21. And it sounds like Mike McDaniel's going to keep his job, but I'm kind of with Josh on this one. Why?
Yeah.
Why? They're just going to run it back again with the same group?
Well, if you're going to get a new GM, he probably wants to bring in his own guy.
Yeah.
So, yeah, my second loser I'm just going to go on a total season disaster as the Washington Commanders.
Which was predictable.
My goodness, are they awful?
Yeah. I'll kind of do the same and say the Cowboys. Overhyped every year, tons of talent. I know they have a first-year head coach, and they just same old every year.
Yeah.
Failed expectations.
The Chargers have had, even though they're winning, have had trouble in offense for the past 3 weeks, and they look like the 2000 Rams yesterday against the Cowboys. I know the Cowboys' defense is anything but good, but yeah. Well, and then the third one, Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah. Man. I still don't know the quarterback's name that came in or who will be playing Thursday night against the Broncos. I still don't know who it is.
Yeah. It could be Travis Kelce's last home game, right?
I would say there's a good – actually, this will be Tanner's book at prediction of the week. Thursday night will be Travis Kelce's last game in a Chiefs uniform at Arrowhead Stadium, which was announced today. Arrowhead has only got a few more years of life as the Kansas City Chiefs are planning to move from Missouri to the state of Kansas and build a new stadium. And build a new stadium. Well, yes.
It is close to the border.
Every single team starting to get new stadiums.
Oh.
And I bet you more than not, most of them have retractable roofs because they all want Super Bowls.
Yeah. The Kansas City's, I'm tired, sick and tired of watching them in the playoffs and stuff, but they're almost unwatchable right now.
Yeah. 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 Well, I'm going to watch them Thursday night, but that will be the least watched game because it's on Prime and not Netflix.
Well, that whole slate they have Thursday
not
ends
good.
Up being a catastrophe.
Not good. And we'll get
Denver's the only one of the six teams that's going to make the playoffs.
We'll get that to that in a bit. But the J-Man's Book of Prediction of the Week is brought to you by, like it has been every week in 2025 and for the past couple of years of the podcast, Travis Watchering Agency. Travis Watchering is a multi-line agent for Indiana Farm Bureau Insurance, specializing in home, auto, life, and renter's insurance. He can also do annuities and much, much more. For all your insurance needs, contact Travis at 219-869-4561. I know he's not having a good sports year this year. Reds fan, Colts fan, Notre Dame football, who had a pretty good year but didn't make the playoffs, and Ohio State basketball.
Well, we all have our down years.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yes. Yes. So my last loser, I could pick my own team, but we already put the Jaguars in the winner's circle. I'll put John Harbaugh just for not running the ball with Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
He should have. So.
Yeah, Baltimore just finds a way to lose games.
Yeah. Yeah. So, all right. Week 17 game picks and confident point time. J-Man did send his in, which I was surprised.
Okay.
So I have his picks too. We'll start with the Thursday games on Christmas Day. Dallas Cowboys at the Washington Commanders, and the Cowboys are 6.5-point favorites.
I got Dallas as my 9-point.
9-pointer? I got Dallas as my 10-pointer. The J-Man has the Cowboys as his 3-pointer. Detroit Lions at the Minnesota Vikings. Lions are 6-point favorites.
I have Detroit for 8.
I got Detroit for 12, and J-Man's got Detroit for 5. The nightcap, the Denver Broncos at the Kansas City Chiefs. The Broncos are 13-point favorites.
I have the Broncos for 16.
I got the Broncos for 16 as well. That's probably going to bite me. And the J-Man's got the Broncos for 15. Mm-hmm. Saturday games, Houston Texans at the L.A. Chargers.
I got the Chargers for 4.
You got the Chargers for 4. J-Man and I both have the Chargers for 2. In the night game Saturday night, the Baltimore Ravens at the Green Bay Packers.
I did this before I had heard about all the injuries, but I have the Packers for 12.
Tanner's got the Packers for 13, and the J-Man's got the Packers for 8. So we're all hurting there if the Packers lose. The battle for Florida, Tampa Bay at Miami.
I have Tampa Bay for 11.
I got Tampa Bay for 4, and the J-Man's got Tampa Bay for 12. I was surprised it wasn't 16, to be honest. New England Patriots at the New York Jets.
I have the Patriots for 13.
I got the Patriots for 11. The J-Man has the Patriots for 7. Pittsburgh Steelers at the Cleveland Browns.
I have Pittsburgh for 10. But did you hear about DK Metcalf?
He pulled and punched that guy. I didn't hear it was 2 games. I knew they were going to come down with something. Anyways, they still should beat the Browns. I got Steelers for 8. J-Man's got Steelers for 9. Arizona Cardinals at the Cincinnati Bengals.
I got Cincinnati for 14.
I got Cincinnati for 15, and the J-Man's got Cincinnati for 16.
Wow.
New Orleans Saints at the Tennessee Titans.
I have New Orleans for 6.
J-Man's got New Orleans for 4. I got New Orleans for 7. The Jacksonville Jaguars at the Indianapolis Colts.
I have the Jags for 7.
I wish I could watch the Colts play tonight before making this pick, but I got the Jags for 9. J-Man's got the Jags for 11. Seattle Seahawks at the Carolina Panthers. Or is it the other way around? Is Carolina at – no, it's at Carolina.
Is it?
Let me double-check that. Yes, it's at Carolina, but the Seahawks are 7-point favorites.
I have Seattle for 5.
J-Man's got Seattle for 10. I got Seattle for 6. The battle for the number 1 overall draft pick in the NFL draft, New York Giants at the Las Vegas Raiders.
I have the Raiders for 1.
We all 3 have the Raiders for 1 point.
Yeah.
The Philadelphia Eagles at the Buffalo Bills. Your Buffalo Bills.
I have the Bills for 3.
I have the Bills for 3 as well. J-Man's got the Bills for 6. Sunday Night Football, Chicago Bears at the San Francisco 49ers.
I have the Niners for 2.
I got the Niners for 5. J-Man's got the Niners for 14.
I think there's a little prejudice in that one.
I was surprised, though, because his wife's uncle's a big Niners fan, so he don't like the Niners either. So, L.A. Rams at the Atlanta Falcons, Monday night.
I got the Rams for 15.
I got the Rams for 14, and the J-Man has the Rams for 13.
So, we all agree on all 16 games.
Did we really?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, that tells you something, I guess.
And I would think the Raiders and the Giants is the hardest one to pick. But Max Crosby plays his
rear. I think the Chargers-Texans is a tough one to pick, too.
Yeah, but Texans did not look good on offense yesterday. You know, several teams didn't. The Bills only couldn't score in the second
Broncos
half.
Broncos didn't look good in the second half. Well, yeah. Not really. They scored as many, I guess, second half they did in the first half. So defense didn't look good.
Yeah, so, it's a week-to-week league. You just kind of win and go on. You get hot in the playoffs.
It is. I told somebody today, my goal for the Broncos for the year was win the division and win a game in the playoffs. And they can definitely do both. But if they are the one seed, then I get a little greedy knowing they got home field. And if you win one game, then you're in the AFC Championship.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Who would you pick to go to the Super Bowl right now, today?
I'd like to say the Broncos, but honestly, the one team that scares me in the AFC scares me the most is the Bills. I know their O-line's not very good and their defensive backs aren't good, but they got that number 17.
Yeah.
That can get it done.
He didn't have to do much yesterday, but, boy, they are really, really weak at the receiver position. I thought they set both their best 2 guys yesterday to even play them. So,
no.
I don't know. Sometimes you're going to have to throw the ball down the field.
Yeah. Just don't. In the NFC, I still like the Rams.
I would say I do, too. But here's the Super Bowl they don't want to see. They don't want to see Jacksonville versus Seattle.
No. Or Jacksonville versus Carolina.
Oh, my gosh. I just can't even see that ever happening.
Well, yeah, but, you're in it, you got a chance type of thing.
Yeah.
So, all right, back to the birdie or bogey. And I got to tweak the question a little bit. I said the last time they won in Indianapolis, it's the last time they beat the Colts at all.
I have 2 thoughts.
So they played, let me, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. They played 6 times since 2000. Who was the quarterback the last time the Niners beat the Colts at all?
I'm just going to go with my first guess. And I, quite frankly, can't remember if he played in the 90s or the early 2000s. Jeff Garcia.
You got a birdie. Jeff Garcia played both the 90s and 2000s. Last time the Niners beat the Colts, 40-21, it was in Indianapolis. November 25th, 2001.
Okay. My other wild guess is going to be Elvis Gerback.
I didn't know he played for the Niners.
So. Just 1 year.
Well, you know, you only play most of the time. I know they got that wrinkle now where you play a random NFC team every year, mm-hmm. but you only play each other usually as NFC, AFC every 40 years. So they don't play too often.
Right.
The Colts have had their number.
Did you see, I have one other quick pro football note. Did you see that the Patriots this year, the teams they beat, you know, the winning percentage is the worst since 1999?
Yep.
So I still don't know if they're good or not. I think they're pretty good.
You got to play who's on your schedule.
I thought Drake May was awful yesterday for 2.5 quarters and then awesome the last quarter and a half.
Yep.
So they throw that 20-yard out better than any other team I've seen all year.
Real quick, who you got tonight, Colts or Niners?
I have the Niners.
Yeah, we'll see how old man Rivers does.
Yeah. If the Niners win, then I think AFC's only got two more spots to fill, and I think the NFC would only, you know, they're down only a couple spots to fill. Yep. So.
Yep, it's as it should be. 2 weeks left. Playoff picture's becoming clear. So.
Yeah. Basically two, you know, and if Pittsburgh beats Cleveland this week, that's done too. So.
Yep. So. Well, thanks, Dad, for filling in for the J-Man, and thanks to everybody out there who watched or are listening at a later time, and Merry Christmas to everybody. Happy Hanukkah, happy or Merry whatever you celebrate. So I hope everybody has a great time with friends and family. And we'll be back at it next Monday. The J-Man will be back for our last episode of 2025. Have a great week, everybody.